It's that moment again.
Yep.
You know,
you're being recorded.
We're being surveilled.
Yes, surveilled.
Who else is watching this?
I don't check the feeds anymore.
No, what I meant was, like, we're recording, uh-huh. But, like, is Big Brother watching us?
Of course they are. He is, she is, it is.
Oh, the sorry, hunger. big sibling.
Yeah, the big sibling. Yeah, the reference doesn't really work. You have to sort of, you got to neutralize that. It's become, I mean, Big Brother and Little Brother.
Aren't we neutralizing everything?
Well, I think, it's funny. I can remember, can you remember a time when it was challenging for you to flip? So we're driving and one of my kids asked something about law enforcement and my response referred to, I said police officer, and it came off the tongue very easily. But I can remember a time where it was difficult for me to not fall on the policeman term. So the gendered term. And it got me thinking about the spaces where I have automaticity with my gender neutral language, and then other spaces where I find like all of a sudden my brain slows right down. It's almost like there's a caution sign that comes up. It's like, whoa, slow down. Remember, you've learned differently. You've learned better. There's a different word that you have to say. And then I can find the word. And then there's other times where all it is a wall. I kind of hit it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm not sure if I know what the gender neutral word is. And then I kind of, sometimes what I do is I actually don't go ahead with the gendered word. I do a description. So a sidebar description of whatever the task or the work that person would do. So how else might we describe Big Brother? I don't know.
So you don't like big sibling, older no, siblings big... watching me.
I like BS. I love BS.
BS is here. BS is watching.
BS is watching. Yeah. And LS.
We are LS. We're always LS, aren't we?
We are. We are. I think we are. We are one of the elements of little sibling. Big sibling and little sibling.
Dude, I just remembered I had a dream last night about a colleague.
Okay.
And it was whacked. It was whacked. And that's all I can say, because now that I think if I say more, I will give away who this person is, and I don't want to do that. It wasn't like it was just weird. It wasn't bad. It wasn't offside. It was just weird. Does that ever happen to you? People you work with, like, yeah, pop into your subconscious?
Yeah, I probably do. I don't have my it. I think what I've come to, so not a newsflash, but so I have sleep apnea, right? So my sleeping routine is highly regimented for anyone kind of just listening in. So Clef's got apnea. Basically, for me, I stop breathing while I'm sleeping. So I use one of those constant positive air pressure machines. So I wear a mask and it just keeps me, well, basically alive, right? There's my routine with falling asleep is so almost robotic that I often don't know if I'm having fit full sleep. I dream sometimes. I know that I'm consistently, like, if I look at so my Fitbit tracks waking and non-waking. I don't think it's as accurate as my Apple Watch. I think probably did a better job of that as tracking, because I can only imagine only tracks movement. Like, does the watch feel like it's moving in space? So anyways, I tend to go just under 7 hours of, I guess, which full sleep. You and I talked before about sleep cycles, though, because within that duration of sleep, you go through several sleep cycles. And within each sleep cycle, you kind of hit, you might hit deep sleep, you get your REM sleep, and you start to dream. I wake up feeling, I won't say refreshed, but I wake up feeling like I've completed a task. It's so, I go to sleep, I'm asleep within about 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes, I'm out. And within 2 minutes of my eyes opening, I'm out of the bedroom and I'm on my way. I'm very regimented. And I think in that, I think there's something for me that sort of that kind of like rigor of a sleep routine, I think it maybe keeps me from having at least remembering as many dreams as possible. I can remember years back talking with my dad. My dad had apnea as well. And he had come across, he had been talking, I don't know who he had been talking to, but he was talking about like how do you sort of dream collect, like how do you sort of remember those dreams that you just had, and why do some dreams stay with you more than others? But typically if you've dreamt and you wake up, there's a process where right away before the sort of memory fades back into your subconscious, you know, and that's why some people, I guess, keep dream journals. They'll scribble it all down as soon as they wake from dreaming. I think there's something about my routine that I never give pause when I wake up. I'm instantly jumping from completely asleep to completely awake. And without having any gradual off ramp to it, I think I basically slam the door shut on all that pre-waking creativity. And I might for a few seconds as I'm, and I snap to awareness really quickly. So there isn't even like that fog of sleep where, oh, where am I going? Like I don't bump into walls. I don't stumble. I get up. I pick up my whatever, you know, if I'm generally speaking, when I'm getting up in the morning beside the bed, I've kind of left the, you know, the track pants and the hoodie so I can kind of just throw some clothes on to head down the stairs. And it's so automatic, man, that I think I basically skip that whole process of morning reflection where you're able to recollect what your dreams were the night before.
It's interesting to me because I hear what you're saying. I love, in a way, how you can do that. When I woke up, my dream was vivid. Mm-hmm. I got out of bed. I went to the bathroom. Brushed my teeth, and I had the thought, if I don't write this down or if I don't record this somehow right now, when I'm talking to Clough, I will have forgotten half of it. And that is truly the case. As I sit here listening to you talk, I'm forcing myself to think about the one or two things I can remember, the details of this dream that are just gone now. It's gone. You know, I can remember the individual that was in the dream, and I can remember one or two points of interest. But other than that, I just have the essence. That's all that's left is the essence. Everything else is gone. Which is weird, because I even considered in that moment, as I'm brushing, I thought right away, I'm going to message this person. I'm going to tell them exactly what happened in my dream. And then just see what they think. And if there's anything to it. Because they might not know. Or what I mean is, so in my dream, this person in real life, as far as I know, is a heterosexual individual. In my dream, it was discovered that they are homosexual. Is there anything to that? I don't know. In my dream, this person has been ill in the past. In my dream, this person was ill again. Is there something to it? I don't know. Probably not. But it's just interesting And then why did this person pop into my subconscious? What is it about this person? I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know if you know, but I'm pretty much a loner at work. I'll get to work in the morning. I don't know why that makes you laugh, but I get to work in the morning and I go into my room, and lately I've been closing my door. I think it's because I'm playing music and stuff and I don't want to infect the whole hallway of people, but the door's closed. And I think that sends a message to some people. Like my ESL teacher came, knocked on the door. She could see me in there working. So she came in. She's like, I can see you working. You can't hide. And I'm like, I'm not hiding. Like, I'm right here. I'm at work. I'm working. It was just funny. She's like, I know the door was closed. So I thought about, but I need to talk to you. I'm like, that's fine. Like the door's closed because the music's on. It's funny. There's music playing, but the focus is on me not wanting to deal with people. Why? What? Obviously, I give off something or I've said something, but I'm doing my thing. Lunchtime, same thing. I'm in the room. I'm working. I'm doing stuff. So I'm not really with people. So why is this happening? I don't know. It's even interesting to me why certain people are popping in. It wasn't just one person either. It was like a bunch of people, but the focus was on this person and what's going on with them in their life. Very interesting. But like I said, now it's just an essence. Because I talked to you, I have to like force myself to try to recall specifics, and I can't do it. Which is all a sleep thing. Anybody who knows anything about sleep, like you said, people know when you wake up initially, your dream is still there. It's vivid at a certain, depending on what kind of sleep you just came out of or entered into or whatever. But I literally brushing my teeth. I'm like, this is going to be gone in 10 minutes. It will just evaporate and go away. And there may be an essence. And if you ask me about it tomorrow, it might just be gone. Like just gone.
Karen last night was talking about, what were we watching? We were watching, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
I think I've seen it a while ago.
Yeah, it's a good thriller. The character's really fascinating, but the main character, well, one of the, I guess, yeah, Elizabeth Salander, when she, in one of the scenes, someone gives her some documents to look at, and she puts them down on the table, and the other character in the scene says, well, you know, do you want to make some notes or something? She's like, no, I got it. And then she leaves the scene. And that's proven to be true with her character. Like the character she's talking to didn't know that element about her, but the audience does, because you've already sort of witnessed her in the movie and watched how she operates. And so we had a little conversation around memory and whether or not a photographic memory would be of value. Like, would you want to have a photographic memory? And there was something that kind of itched me in the back of my brain. I had read an article or I'd listened to a podcast talking about the necessity of forgetting and how it's an important part of sort of mental wellness and mental hygiene, that your brain doesn't have access to every single memory and bit of information at any time. And I think about dreams in the same way, because I know there's dreams. I can remember as a child, when I was a kid, I had a dream that used to create a lot of anxiety in me. And to me, it I would sort of put it into the category of nightmare specifically for me. And, you know, in explaining it to anyone else, it was a fairly innocuous dream. And I remember it to this day. And all it was imagine it's kind of dressed down, but imagine a blank field of kind of gray color. So a background of gray color, and then a dot sort of like scrolls into view. So it comes in there from the left or the top or the bottom or the right, sort of scrolls into the center and then goes back to retraces its path. And then next level, two of them come in from different directions, come to center, and then go off again. And this just multiplies until there's the screen is full of dots, and then the screen itself flips to the dot color and then a different. So it kind of goes between gray, white, and black. So, and this would just play on over and over and over and over and over again while I was sleeping. And I would wake up just with the, that, you know, remembering, because at that point I felt that was a repeated dream that I had had a lot when I was a kid. I have no idea what the source was. The fact that I can still remember it now, it doesn't, in like, I don't have a stress response to it at this point, but I imagine, because there was one point even when I would talk about it that I could feel myself getting a little bit stressed and anxious about talking about it. If I were to have that dream now, I bet you I would wake up and I would probably remember. I would probably remember, and I would probably feel like, you know, checking the blood pressure, I'd probably be up. So yeah, it was just, I think there's something between dreams and actual accessible memory. Excuse me. I think that forgetting can be valuable. I don't know if I would want to be able to access my full dreams. I don't know if I would or I wouldn't, but there's something that fascinates me about the idea, that concept of forgetting and the value of forgetting and the value of forgetting for mental wellness, so that you can you can have a sense of moving on, I guess. When I think about some of the conversations that have happened in one of our most recent PD sessions, we were talking about supporting students that have gone through trauma. And it's in that particular case, if you have experienced trauma, there's sometimes conversations that say, like, I've heard people say that it's important to remember the trauma, and that you sort of build with it, you sort of carry it with you. And then I've heard other conversations talking about, no, you know, like, just to not have to ever experience that or deal with that ever again is the preference.